every family has stories, and each one of us has a story. You guys all have stories that maybe you find yourself retelling, things that happened to you that are somehow significant. They might be good things, they might be bad things. I know in my family there are stories that I grew up hearing, and some of these stories were just told for humor's sake, you know, for a good laugh. I can remember, you know, some of my great uncles and my uncles and my dad, you know, they would tell the same story over and over again, and they'd slap their knee and roar with laughter. And it was just kind of a funny story. There wasn't necessarily any, like, meat to it. It was just a funny story. And then there are other stories that remind us who we are. You know, I remember my mom telling me about how my great-grandmother came across in the ship from Sweden when she was 16 years old. You know, that shapes me. That shapes my understanding of who I am. Don't know a lot about her, but I know she traveled with her younger brother, just the two of them, you know, all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. Stories shape us. And in this book, the Bible, is full of stories that have the power to shape us and to form us. And they're told for a very specific reason. They're told for a very specific purpose. In 1 John, it's a very short book. If you'd like to go home and read it, I'd invite you to do that. By the way, there are Bibles out on the back table if you'd like to take one with you, or if you need one while you're here, you're welcome to take it. But 1 John starts out this way. And 1 John was written to a specific group of people, a specific community. And it starts out this way. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched." Think about that for a minute. "This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it, and we testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy." Why did the author of 1 John, a man by the name of John, one of the earliest followers, one of the earliest Christians, why did he write this letter, or this sermon of 1 John? He tells us. He says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard." This was someone who actually saw and heard Jesus. "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that," he's telling us why. Why is he proclaiming it? Why is he telling us? "So that you also may have fellowship with us." So that you also may have fellowship, you know, with this group of believers, that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's telling us who the fellowship is with. It's not just with anybody, but who is it with? Jesus Christ and the Father, right? You know, this passage, if you stop and look at it, it's amazing. It is just chock full of information, of story about who we are, about who Jesus is. He doesn't come out, he never mentions the name Jesus in this particular passage. Later on, we're told who it is. We're told it's Jesus. But it says, that which was from the beginning. Did you know that Jesus is from the beginning? Jesus is fully God and fully man. You guys remember the story of creation back in Genesis, starting in Genesis chapter 1? And it says that God spoke creation into existence. Jesus is the Word. He was there at creation. He is Creator God. He actually spoke creation into existence. That which was from the beginning. Jesus was from the beginning. It says, this person, this one that was from the beginning, that spoke creation into existence, which we have seen. We've seen the one who spoke creation into existence. And not only that, we heard him. Can you imagine that? We have heard the one physically with our ears. You know, just like I'm sitting across from you, I'm looking at you right now. Like, if you speak, I hear you, right? Yes, just like that. We have heard him, the one who spoke creation into existence. We heard him. We heard him with our ears, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at. You know, we've gazed on him. We've studied him. We've sat in the firelight with him. We've seen the features of his face. We've seen, you know, all the different parts of his hands. We've watched him move. We know how his mouth moves. We've watched him laugh. We've watched his mannerisms. We know him. We've looked at him. And our hands have touched. You know, we've touched him. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. Jesus wasn't just any ordinary human being. He was fully God and fully man. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The one who spoke creation into existence. The one who spoke life into existence. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. The life appeared. Jesus appeared. The one who spoke dry land into existence. The one who brought forth and caused land to appear. He appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We've seen it and we've spoken about it. And we proclaim to you, we preach to you the eternal life, the everlasting life, not just any life, the eternal life, the everlasting life, Jesus, which was with the Father. He was with the Father in heaven, and yet he's appeared to us here on earth. We proclaim to you that which we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. We've preached it for a purpose. We've preached it for a purpose so that you might have fellowship with us, so that you might have this common relationship with us, that you might be a part of this family, of this actual flesh and blood family called the church. You know that the church is a family? That you might be a part of us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also might have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is not just any kind of fellowship. It's not just any kind of family. our fellowship is with the Father, God the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ, the one who spoke creation into existence, the one who we saw, who we touched, who we heard. This one, Jesus. We proclaim this so that you might have fellowship not just with us and with the Father, but with Jesus, with the Son, with the Father's Son. And it says, we write this to make our joy complete. Or some translations say, we write this to make our to make your joy complete. Think about that. When you think about what God offers us, what salvation is, what do you think about? Creation? Multiplying? Freedom. What else? Anybody think about it in terms of heaven? Yeah. What's that? Grace. Grace. It's grace. What was that again? Peace, grace, a lot comes to mind. Grace, peace, freedom. I like these words. These are good words. You know, sometimes when we think about salvation, it's easy for us to say, well, you know, it's about going to heaven when we die. It's part of it, but that's a very, very, I like the way you said no. There's much, much, much more to it, right? It's about eternal life, everlasting life. It's about fellowship with each other. It's about fellowship with the Father and with the Son, entering into this fellowship, entering into this communion, into this shared life with the Father and with the Son. You know, that's salvation. And yet we have this tendency just to, like, you know, reduce it to this narrow, really thin little thing that doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't shape our lives. It doesn't really have any impact on our lives. But when we think about salvation in terms of entering into relationship with Jesus, not just any Jesus, but with the risen Christ. Can we think about that? Do you know the risen Christ? You know, John, he'd seen him. He'd heard him. He touched him. You know? Going back to the passage that was read at the beginning of the service today, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they were there at the tomb when there was a violent earthquake. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples." There it is. He's proclaiming. Proclaim. Tell his disciples. "He has risen from the dead and is it going ahead of you into Galilee? There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And what happens? Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They heard him. They'd heard him many times before, but now for the first time, they are hearing him as the risen Christ, the one who has journeyed through death and been victorious over death. God brought him through death and raised him victorious from death. Death no longer has any power over him. And they heard him for the first time, the risen Christ, with their own ears. "Greetings," he said. And what did they do? They worshiped him. They came to him and they clasped his feet. They touched him. They touched him with their hands. The risen Christ, the one who had journeyed through death and been victorious over death. They touched him. with their hands. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, what we have touched. You know, what we have seen with our eyes and heard and looked at and our hands have touched, we proclaim to you. They touched him, the risen Christ. So my question for you this morning is just simply this. Do you know the risen Christ? Do you have fellowship with the risen Christ? If you don't, you're invited. You're invited in. We're invited in to have fellowship with the risen Christ, with the Father, and with the Son, and with each other. We're invited in. Amen. Would you stand for worship with me?